Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, anoint me and speak through me today. Those listening online, those who are here, that the Spirit speak expressly to the heart. Not to the mind, but to the heart, Lord. Block out any distractions, that this word would produce fruit for your kingdom, Lord. And keep our minds stayed on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8. For I consider, in verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Are you eagerly waiting for it, folks? The title of this message is Hope and Trust. It's steadfastness, folks, to long for him, but know until he calls us home, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because we certainly are living in perilous times. And I know many of you had a rough week this week. There are many that are right in the thick of it here in this church. How many are struggling with something right now? Yes. Okay. Thank you for being honest. We all. You looked around. Everybody had. There is something we are struggling with. And around the world, there are struggles. We hear of sickness. We hear of job loss. We hear of economic uncertainty. We see natural catastrophes occurring right before our eyes. Uncertainty for the future. And from a carnal or worldly perspective, there is little hope for the future, right? From a world's eye view, there is little hope for the future. That's what they're saying. And T-minus 10 years you have all before climate change destroys the world. Right. Think about those who are currently under lockdown in this world, with some of the mandates. It's getting intense, folks. It's getting intense. The world, they just met in Glasgow, Scotland, about climate change, and suddenly the whole deal fell apart because of a last-minute proposal for coal, and oh man, now it's all going to fall apart. It's all going to unravel because the world is telling you climate change is going to destroy this world in the near future if we don't change things now. Last week, I told you that. That's a lie. What does the Bible say? Climate change is not going to destroy it. God is going to consume this world with fire and bring a new heaven and a new earth. Read Peter. And I think about those in the world who have no hope. I think about, I'm talking about real hope. I'm thinking about those in the world whose hope is in this world and it's on the leaders of this world. And many feel like they're walking on this tightrope, right? It's bound and they're walking on this tightrope just waiting to be surprised or caught off guard. Waiting for that next trial to come our way. The next nail in the coffin, right? And the reality is God is not caught off guard by any of this stuff. He's not surprised. He is in control. He knows the future. And many have experienced a lack of hope in times. Sometimes we're really on fire. Many are currently experiencing a lack of hope. Many are wondering, what is the next shoe that's going to drop? How am I going to provide? I don't know how much longer I can hold on. These are real thoughts, folks, with people in this world. Fellow brothers and sisters of Christ that are hanging on by the thread. Many in the Bible have experienced similar times. You're not the only one that has felt that there's not hope. Even some of the greatest Bible heroes, Job and Moses, Jonah, Jeremiah, even Elijah. And his came after the mountaintop experience, after he saw the power of God and he called down fire. And oftentimes that lack of hope that we feel is because we've given in to fear. We are living in worry and doubt. And the reality is we cannot be provoked or be moved by fear, because that's from the enemy. God does not work in that realm. His perfect love casts out all fear. The only fear you should have is the reverential fear of God. We need to make sure that we have not shifted our trust in Him to something or someone else. We need to have faith and trust now more than ever. Faith and trust in our King. Psalm 9, 9 through 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That's a promise. God is shaking things, and He is refining us for His purposes. He is trying to get us to lay hold of Him and trust in Him with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. He is stretching us and He is kneading us, because He is the potter. We are the clay. And sometimes when you get put in the fire, the defect comes out. But I remember having my ceramics class, the heat would come in, there would be a defect in what was being created, and you had to pull it out and start all over again. That's how we become effective vessels for His purpose, for His glory, for His kingdom. Because our carnal side would much rather stay in the safe zone, stay in the normal routines, right? Stay in our shell. Never engaging, just waiting. Sometimes we can say we are waiting on the Lord, and that's an excuse to not engage, right? I'm waiting on the Lord. I heard that story, actually. It was on the radio. The man that was like, I'm calling on the Lord, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And the floods came, and first the boat came by, he said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And then the final point, comes down, and the helicopter comes and drops a rope, and he says, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And then he passes away from the flood, and he goes to see God. He's like, God, I was waiting on you. I was expecting you to save me. And he's like, I tried. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter, and you declined none of those. So yep. We can say we're waiting on the Lord as an excuse when God has already spoken and decreed something. We become Jonah running in the opposite direction. But God can equip us and prepare us for the times in which we're living in now, the biblical times that we're living in. He did that. And I'd like to go to 1 Kings 17, where we're going to talk a little bit about Elijah today, just briefly. In 1 Kings chapter 17, in verses 1 through 7, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I just want to talk about how Elijah was being equipped, because this is before the mountaintop experience. Because the Lord made a decree. Said, the Lord told them. It says, the Lord said. And that's because Elijah was listening. You see, part of prayer is not just us speaking. It is us listening. It's listening for the voice of the Lord. And Elijah shows obedience. Because when God says something, it's final. There was no debate to go on here. And we often have a hard time being led by God because we have a listening problem. We hear what we want to hear to fit our selfish motives. We want God to answer on our terms, on our way. We want him to bless our will rather than seek his will. And Elijah was obedient. You know, he was a prophet of Israel. He didn't want to recluse himself here at this stage. He wanted to be speaking to Israel. He wanted to get to it. He would rather be proclaiming the word to Israel. But God tells Elijah, fall back. Hide yourself. Conceal yourself. You see, there's a way that seems right unto man. That's Proverbs 14. But its way is destruction. You see, Elijah was just being tested here on following God's guidance. And I believe this was the equipping that would happen for him to prepare for that mountaintop experience. Just as Jesus went into the desert as he prepared for his ministry. And Elijah leaving was the beginning of that drought for the land. And the prophet was removing himself from the land because when people do not respond to God's word, he removes his messengers and his word. Think about the tribulation. And the prophet Amos talks about that, the famine of hearing the word of the Lord, Amos 8. And he replaces them with instruments of discipline. Think Romans 1. Building up the cup of wrath and indignation because of complete disobedience to his word. That's what we're experiencing right now in this world. But the retreat was building Elijah's inner life, his inner man, which is being renewed for us daily. That's what the scripture says. Preparing him for the trials that will come. Will come. You hear me? Will come. And they're already here. And time alone with the Lord helps us blot out all distractions. Many of you are fasting and taking time for prayer. It's a great time of communion with the Lord. To get one-on-one with our Maker and commune with him so that we can listen for him. This morning, we're sitting there eating breakfast and the news was on and the kids just didn't want to listen. They weren't paying attention. They weren't even dialed in. We're trying to get them to eat. And it was like, as soon as the news turned over and the Disney Channel came on, all of a sudden it was like, whew. They focused in because they heard something they wanted to hear. We need to dial that tune in to what God has speaking for us. God removed Elijah not only to commune with him, but also to protect him for that experience that was to come. Make sure his pride didn't go before him. They didn't have a spiritual defeat. That selfishness didn't occur. And that he was operating by his own wisdom. And so God was able to prepare his spirit for what was to come. And Elijah, at this stage, as he's by the brook, listen up, had to depend on God. Here the brook would be his natural provision. The ravens would be a supernatural provision to him. Here Elijah learned one day at a time for provision, not abundance. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm speaking to some of you right now. It's not an abundance. It's provision for the day. We trust in the Lord. We trust in God's wisdom. We trust in His love, in His care, in His power, and His purpose, and His sovereign plan. Regardless of circumstances or what we can see with our own eyes, we need to look at it with spiritual eyes. Do you respond in childlike faith, or do you respond in carnality? Do you question Him? Think about Joseph in Genesis 50. Was it good that he was sold into slavery? That was a horrible experience for him. But what did God do? He used it for good. And Elijah says that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be, he doesn't act in disobedience. He doesn't think this is beneath him. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to have ravens provide for me. This is beneath me. I'm a prophet of God. No. He's obedient. He's listening. And I'm sure there was a carnal side of Elijah that was perplexed by all of this. Just as many here today are confounded with what's going on in your life right now. We heard about God shaking things. God is trying to change our values and our priorities to reveal your source of trust. Are you trusting in something other than Him? Because after a while is what it said in verse 6. And it happened after a while. See, it's guess what? It's God's timing. His timing, not ours. Right? His word goes out and it does not return void. He says it and He will do it. Numbers 23:19. And we wait on the Lord, and that's the expectation. We do what we're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean we just stand there. That was that little like story about the guy who's like, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, no. We have expectations of what we're supposed to be doing. And in verse 6, that brook starts to dry up. And many would look at the problem of the brook drying up and the provision, but Elijah was thinking, okay, the brook's drying up. What's the next step? Where do I go from here? Trusting in God. And God would lead him next to a widow. Another preparation. Many of us would focus on the problem. The brook is drying up. The brook is drying up. Not going, oh, the brook's drying up. That means God's about to move and have me do something different. In this case, God was using drought to bring suffering to Israel to get them to turn back. To turn back, to repent. And God's plan just doesn't make sense to us sometimes. We have this little piddly of a brain. God has blessed us with a great brain, but our comprehension of God, His ways are not our ways. Amen? And so the activity of God can come in unusual ways. God has, in the Bible, has set up these different stories or, you know, real-life events that appear to be negative on the front end, but He orchestrates them for His glory, for His kingdom. You see, without Pharaoh's pursuit of the Israel at the Red Sea, there was no miracle of deliverance. Without Lazarus's death, there is no raising to life. Without Goliath, there's no shepherd boy who's going to become king. Without Peter stepping on the boat, there's no miracle of him walking on water. A man walking on water. Without Judas's betrayal and the crucifixion, there's no rolling away of the stone and his resurrection. These events and those experiences build our faith. And guess what? It draws others to say, what's going on? Just as Israel saw the mighty power of God when Elijah called down fire from heaven, God wants to use you and I in a miraculous way right now for such a time as this. When God told Elijah what to do with the fire, he said, then because of this, you will draw all men to me. And we have been baptized with Christ by fire. Holy Spirit, fire. Luke 3:16. John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. God's consuming sacrifice is fire inside us. If we could allow the Holy Spirit to take control, to lead us, we can see a great harvest of souls. Because God says the fields are white unto harvest. And we can be a part of that. We can be a part of that. At the same time of falling away, people are asking questions, looking for authenticity. What's real in this world anymore? You can't find truth on TV, that's for sure. We need to trust God's plan and will, even when it does not make sense. When God's will is perplexing, the test comes in how we respond. Do we trust in him or question the plan, since it's not our plan? And the answer is, already ahead of you, to trust in him. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Because of the trust in the Lord, it says in the scripture that we are helped. Because of trust. And what comes out of that trust is a joy. As our hearts sing a new song to him, we proclaim his goodness. Because there's coming a time when the songs of this earth will cease. The tambourine, the sound of the flute, it will all cease as it's said. But not the song of the believer. Not the song of the believer. Isaiah 24 says, Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, the seller, as with the lender, the borrower, as with the creditor, so the debtor. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws and changed the ordinance. Think Romans 1. Broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. What does Revelation call those who do not believe? Earth dwellers, those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, and the merry-hearted sigh. The mirth of the tambourine ceases, the noise of the jubilant ends, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with the song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city, desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. That's what's coming. Thank God, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Therefore, even when you see these things, we exalt his name. We trust in his promise. And his promises are what? They are yes and amen. Do you trust in him? Do you trust in his promises? Because there's rewards for those who persevere. Isaiah 25, the very next chapter, 1-9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For you have made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Babylon will be gone. Therefore, the strong people will glorify you. The city of the terrible nations will fear you, for you have been strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is the storm against the wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished, and then in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the less. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. What is the end? We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Though trials come our way, we rejoice. We see what is coming, folks. There's an expectation in our hearts. This is our hope, and that is why we trust in our Lord. Amen. Let's talk about hope for a minute. I don't know if I can come down. I'm just really amped up. You see, humans, when I say humans, I'm talking about non-believers, earth dwellers, let's just say there, have a definition of hope. Merriam-Webster, which seems to be changing definitions all the time about stuff to fit the narrative, but another subject. Hope in the Merriam-Webster dictionary says it's a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, a feeling of trust, wanting something to happen or to be the case. So I'll give it to you this way. Earth dwellers say, I hope this blank, blank, blank happens, or I sure hope so, right? And as believers, it's not I hope so. It is I know so. I know so. Because hope is elpizo in the Greek. It's to expect. Not a feeling. It's to expect. To wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. It's not a feeling. It's a knowing, right? Our hope in God is surer than the setting and the rising of the sun, because God's word is truth. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, will he not do it? Has he not spoken, will he not make it good? His word does not return void. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. In his word I do hope, because his word is true. So what's the real hope for the believer? I'm just going to talk about hope for a couple more minutes here, and then we'll finish up. But here's the hope that we have. We have one, a blessed hope. Titus 2:11-13, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, right? Flight 777, right? Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works as you see that day approaching? What an honor that would be when he comes in those clouds and you're doing something for his kingdom. Woo! Because Jesus Christ is our Savior and Redeemer. He died for us. And he said in John 14, his words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," that's what happened in Acts, that's where he went. "And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our blessed hope. It's a blessed hope. And we have a courageous hope. Psalm 31, 24. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." In the New Living Translation, it says, "So be strong and courageous, all you who put hope in the Lord." Because if you're not a believer, the only hope is in this world and the plans of man, which are wretched and miserable. Think about the last 2 years. How's that worked out? That's been real fun. As Christians, we can take heart. We can be courageous because God is our hope. We sang, I hope you picked up on the messages of the songs we sang today. There's a lot of hope in there. Because we are overcomers. We're overcomers. When God is your hope, you have a sure thing. It's a real thing. When it's in the world, then what happens is you get consumed with worry because you don't know what comes next. We know what comes next, don't we? There's an instruction guide right here for those of you who want to know about it. Read your Bible. Those who have hope in God have hope in the only one who can guarantee our future. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee, folks. John 16, 33. Thank you, Katie, for using that earlier today. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." That's a little knock against any prosperity preachers. You will have tribulation. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The truth is, tribulations and trials will come in this world, yet he has overcome. Therefore, we are overcomers. And guess what? In Christ, we have peace. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. It's not the one that says, "Peace, peace," and there's really no peace. It's real peace. Because the world wants to crush your faith. It wants to crush your trust. And it wants to squash all your hope. That's why scoffers and mockers are such a bleh. I just want to take those who scoff and mock and just be like, "Wake up! Come on! Can you not see what's going on?" Ugh. We need to overcome through Christ. Do not believe what the enemy says. The lies, right? Who are you listening to, right? Do you remember that script, that's a sermon? Who are you listening to? Do you remember the report in Numbers? Joshua and Caleb had a good report, and the others did not, right? Don't believe the lies, because we are more than conquerors. Through whom? Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have a courageous hope, and we have a restful hope. Psalm 62:5, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him." In the New Living, it says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him." How many times do we wrestle with tomorrow when we go to sleep? You know what I'm talking about? Because I get super frustrated when those things, when I'm anticipating what's coming tomorrow, and I'm thinking about those things. You know, like, or what happened throughout the day. It's like a cause and effect. So I sit there and I rehearse all the events in my mind. I'm sitting there wide awake and it's like 2 a.m. and I'm just thinking about all the things I could have done differently and what's going to be that, what's going to happen because of that tomorrow. Am I the only one? Okay. Yeah. Okay. The many what ifs haunt our minds and do not allow us to sleep. And the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. The evils today is sufficient. And We're borrowing from tomorrow for today. That sounds really great, especially as a lender, right? We're spending it on today. We're taking from tomorrow's worry. And God says, no, live now, today. Tomorrow's already taken care of by God and the hope you have in him, so find rest. Find rest for that weary soul. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because what? He trusts in you. You see, you can focus your mind on the trials, the things you did wrong in the day, the troubles, or you can keep your mind stayed on Christ, bringing every thought captive and brought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we will have perfect peace and find rest. Amen? So it's a restful hope. It's a sovereign hope, folks. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. So my question is, are you looking to the world or yourself? Because when we look to ourselves, we look to our employer, we look to our retirement fund, our stock brokerage account, or maybe an inheritance that we're going to come in handy with, we cannot fully hope with 100% certainty. You guys know what the market's going to do tomorrow? I don't. But what we do look for when our hope is in God is we know that whatever decisions are made, God is in control. It's in his hands. Amen? Proverbs 21, verse 1-2 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. You see, even the leaders of this world, they make their plans. That's what Psalm 2 talks about. They make their plans, and God sits there and laughs. Like, really? You make your plans. It's just like thinking about like those who come together in Armageddon, right? All the world's military might, and they're going to come against King Jesus, who created and spoke the world into existence. How's that going to work out for him? Not great. It's an eternal hope, folks. We have an eternal hope. Psalm 131, verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth, now and forever, because it's for today. Hope is for today. We can have it, a hope for tomorrow. It's our future. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. The Lord of hosts is with us. The captain of the army is with us. He will not leave us or forsake us, just as he is with Israel as they were going to the promised land. And he is mighty. And his ways are not our ways. That's why he had them march around Jericho 7 times. And then shout, and the trumpets, and whoosh, the walls came crashing down. It's an eternal hope. The hope is clear that it covers our entire life until he takes us home. And we are with our blessed hope forevermore. And most importantly, it's a living hope. It's a living hope. It's alive. 1 Peter 1, 3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. And guess what? You have a reservation of it. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It is a living hope. It's a living hope. It's not in the grave anymore. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, who conquered the grave. It says we are kept by the power of God through faith. That is why it's now faith. It's the very present day faith. And he empowers us. And it's he who sustains us by the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave. It's the third part of the Trinity, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He is Comforter, he is Counselor, and he leads us in all truth. Not what the world wants you to think, all truth, his truth, the only truth. As I close, I want to say this, and it's harsh. If you are not a believer in Jesus, you have no hope in this present world. Your future in the world is uncertain, and you will have no idea what tomorrow brings. And I can promise you this, without faith in Christ, your eternal future is certain. It is an eternity in hell, complete separation from God, complete utter darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and an eternal fire that can never be quenched. Yes. You must decide today. Do not tarry. Today is the day of salvation. You can fix a promise of God that is eternal. It's a guarantee from God himself. Today is the day of salvation, and you can have a living, breathing hope. And you can do that today if you would, A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not one. Not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there's a payment due. There's a payment due. You're in trial, and the wages of sin is death. That is the penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He shows up and pays your fine. Because when you admit you're a sinner, there's an act of repentance. In the Greek, it's called a metanoia. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. You were once an enemy of God, and now you can be a child of God if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he was raised from the grave. Because Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So today is the day. Call on the name of the Lord. For Romans 10:13 says, for whoever, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't tarry. Today is the day. Those listening online, today is the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask right now, wherever that siren is going, if there's someone that is in need, Lord, that you would touch them and reveal your glory to them. Thank you for this time in church, Lord. Thank you for your word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it shows the intents of our heart, Lord. Be with this church body, Lord, that we proclaim who we trust in and who our hope is in this week. Give us an opportunity to share you with a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.